The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. And if you're thinking about some new windows or new doors, let me give you a little help to get things started. First of all, you got to go with Pella. That's obvious. And with Pella, there are a couple of directions you can go. Number one, you can schedule a free in-home consultation. That's right. It is free. You're going to get a Pella expert out to sit down with you and look at your home, and they're going to be able to put together a Tom Osborne-esque game plan that fits your budget, your home, your wants, and your needs. So that's one option. Or option number two, head out to the showroom. They got showrooms in Omaha and Lincoln. And they are really cool. Sometimes it helps to actually see the window, see the door, feel it, open it, close it to get a better feel for exactly what you are installing in your home. So the showroom is also a great place to go as well. Any direction you go with Pella, just know that Pella can 100% provide window and door solutions to any home. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Runza. Been telling you about this app that Runza has, and you need to go get it. Just go to the App Store right now, download the Runza app. You can order food on the app, have it ready to pick up in the restaurant. You can earn points for rewards. In fact, when you download the app, you can get $5 off your first order in the app. It's arguably the greatest app of all time. So go download the Runza app. You get Runza, get rewards, then get more Runza, all on the app. Runza makes it all better. Okay, welcome back into the podcast. And listen, man, for the introduction to who my guest is today, for those who are Husker football fans and know the real legends of the program, my guest today is the real deal. He's a guy that basically needs no introduction. He's Jason Peter. He's the ultimate black shirt in my mind. Jason Peter, during his time at Nebraska, I mean, think about this resume, man. Here's this dude's resume. At Nebraska, he's 49-2. That was his record playing at Nebraska. He won three national titles. He's two-time All Big 12 and consensus first team All-American in 1997. I mean, damn. It doesn't get much better than that. I've had Jason Peter on my pod one time before. It was actually one of my very first episodes all the way back in September of 2019. And if I'm not mistaken, I'd have to go back and check the numbers again, but if I'm not mistaken, that episode is my most downloaded episode ever. So, I mean, this dude, when he gets a mic, you give him a mic, you got to listen, right? Like, that's just Jason. And when you talk to Jason, you guys know how it is, man. It's intense, it's insightful, it's super interesting, and it's also rated R. You know, I mean, this guy just lets it rip, man. This was a fun, great conversation. I was able to sit down face-to-face with Jason for about an hour, and, man, we tackled it all. And, you know, what's interesting is Jason Peter has basically been a volunteer assistant coach with Nebraska football for Scott Frost since about February. So for a handful of months now, he's been helping out in the weight room, around the guys, getting to know them, watching them work, all that good stuff. So not only does Jason have a wealth of knowledge about football in Nebraska, but he has a ton of insight on this team in particular since he's been around them for a long time. So it was really cool to pick his brain about this Husker football team and what he sees from them, and in particular that defensive line. He's been around those guys the most. So this was really, really good. So let's get to it. Here's my podcast chat with three-time national champ, former Husker legend, Jason Peter. Enjoy. All right, here we are. It is it's a Friday afternoon. I'm with Jason Peter, and Jason played a round of golf today. He only played nine holes. I was a little nervous when he told me he said you're going to play golf. Like, you never know, you're going to get, like, pissed off, Jason. He played terrible. Are you going to get, like, good mood, Jason, because he had a couple birdies? I want your mindset before we start talking here, dude.
Yeah, when I left the stadium today, I was talking to Coach Dawson and his son Frankie, who was down there, who's a big golfer. And he asked me about, you know, how was it yesterday? And I said, automatically, I'm like, how'd you know about yesterday? Right? Like my shitty round is like all out, you know, and talking, people are talking about it in Lincoln, right? And I was like, it was one of those days, man, where you can feel it building, you know, in your arms, in your hands, and you're like, I gotta break something. I gotta break, whether it's a club or I'm gonna punch this cart windshield or something, you know. But like something has to. I gotta have a victory somewhere.
Yeah. What got punched? Did anything get punched?
So goddamn hot.
Yes.
You know that I didn't even want to.
Right. Okay.
But today was better. But you know, it's not my fault. It's always the clubs.
Of course.
You know, went up, had Steve Friesen,
who,
you know, former Husker. He's in charge up there, and he's gonna build me some clubs that I can't miss.
The problem with that though. Is now you got nothing to blame.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. Well, but, you know, it's just like we were talking about. At some point, by the time you drive the car off the lot, it's outdated.
Yeah, right?
It's no different. They draft, you know, a guy to play. The second you walk in the door, they're already working.
They think about the next dude.
Who the next guy's going to be. That's right.
So you're going to be working on that next sand wedge the second you get that new sand wedge. You know?
My wife is like, what?
Why do you need
50 sand wedges for?
You don't get it. When did the golf bug bite you? When did that happen?
I can't really say I have a golf bug. I'm limited, you know, with obviously all the injuries and stuff. Like Jay Moore. Now, Jay Moore, he's the real deal.
Yes.
I mean, he just qualified for the U.S. Mid-Am or something like that, which is, you know, super impressive. You think about a guy who spent most of his life playing football and probably basketball and then stopped, obviously, when he retired from football and started playing golf more seriously and now easily one of the best players in the state. But you know, he's got a great work ethic. You know, he takes it serious. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like what I do is like what your kid would be, you know, your 5-year-old kid would be doing compared to what he does.
Yeah.
For me, it's more, it's not even really about me. It's wanting my kids, you know, to hopefully take up this sport because, and you'll learn, you know, as they get older and now mine are 12 and 10, you think about the 12-year-old. Well, she's going into 7th grade here, so she's got 7th and 8th, and then four more years of high school, and then she's gone, right? I mean, you really only – there's only a short amount of time that you actually get to spend with them. So whether you're good at it or not, just if everybody's into it at least and you can go out where it's not like you want to rip somebody's head off every time you go out.
Yeah, you can function through a round.
But that's, you know, 4 hours that you get to spend with your kids.
That's true.
That normally you wouldn't – you know, they'd probably be in their iPad or their iPhone or doing something like that.
Well, it gets harder to find stuff to do. I mean, I know for me with my dad, like that's become a part of like how we spend time together.
Right, yeah.
You know, like as you get older with your parents, like – if you don't have built-in things where you're living under their roof or holidays or stuff like that, you like have to find ways to bond with them.
Absolutely.
And golf's the perfect thing to do that for.
Absolutely. You're stuck in a cart with you know, that person. I mean, a little different than the way we do it. You know, I don't want anybody else sitting in my cart.
Are you a solo cart guy?
Well, because when I go and it's a bad one, I'm saying things. I mean, I'm talking to myself pretty much. If I'm out there for, let's say, what's the average round, 4 hours or something, at least for 2 hours, 30 minutes, I'm motherfucking myself. I'm telling myself what a loser I am.
Right.
And you're garbage, you're shit.
Yeah.
You know, just give this thing up. Take up something else, you know? Like, I mean, it would be like total. If a shrink was out there with me, they'd be like, there's
you need
something
to
wrong
stop,
with that
man.
Dude.
Yeah. That's what it is. Do you have music going in the car? Are you a music guy?
I was not originally. And I remember I'd look at like these goddamn punks out here with the music blasting.
That's
right?
How I was.
Right? Now, the second I get here, it's like the speaker gets attached to the thing.
What is that? Because I remember I was the same way. The first couple times, I was like, now, I'm not Mr. Hoity-toity golfer, you know, quiet. Like, I'm not one of those guys going to back off the ball and, like, give somebody a dirty look. But, like, I initially was like, wow, well, why would you listen to music for? But now it's...
Because I'm guessing that you probably learned from your dad, you know, and that's how you were kind of brought up around it.
Right.
That generation did not have...
They don't do that
speaker.
Shit.
No, they do
they
not
don't do that.
That
shit.
No.
They don't play that at all.
No.
I wanted to start... So it's Friday, August 13th here. It's the middle of camp. Is this about the time when fights start happening in camp? Like, is this the fight time? Like, do people get irritated this time of camp?
Yeah. You know, there was a little something down there today. We had a little mix-up. But, yeah, you know, that's something that we've kind of been hoping there's been more of. And, you know, to our not surprise, but I think, you know, to our pleasure, we've seen, you know, a lot more of that. And it's more, I think, with, you know, the guys, they want to succeed,
right,
man. They are tired of losing.
Yeah, it depends on why you're fighting.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's usually just because guys are competing,
yes,
you know, at such a high level. And the second that maybe they get beat on this play or beat on that play, right, automatically they're starting to think, oh, man, like, I hope my job, you know, or, mm-hmm, or was that bad enough, you know, that I'm going to get demoted? So that's a great indication of it actually, these guys, they care about it.
Yeah,
it means,
sure,
something to them, you know. If you didn't have any sort of emotion or fire in your belly, you know, that's the bigger issue, I think. But, you know, going back to winter conditioning even, and some of the guys that we kind of have focused on in terms of, you know, who we think can be real good leaders and, you know, guys that are willing to get in other guys' faces. I mean, you know how it goes.
Yep.
And seeing them start to kind of exert themselves and do some of those things that, you know, Jay and myself have spent time with them trying to explain to them, you know, without, you know, hey, well, this is how it was back when we, you know, like we
don't want to go that well too much.
I know a lot of, you know, the Twitter people and,
oh,
everything,
God,
would like to think that that's, you know, Jay and I are going down there wearing our, you know,
yeah,
1997 travel, you know, sweatsuit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right.
And, you know, but that's total opposite of, you know, we don't ever bring it up unless they're asking questions about it. And, but, you know, it's pretty much just taking all of the experiences that we've had, the stuff
no
that
question.
We've gone through, and just trying to pick your times and your places where some of that info can be beneficial to them. You just don't want to pound it, you know. Can't be every time me yelling on the sideline, Ty, do this, Casey, do this, you know. It's like, dude, would you someone tell that old dude to shut up?
Yeah,
you
right,
know what I
right.
mean? Like, you don't want it to be like that. And also, you know, they have coaches down there that are telling them, you know, that stuff to do. We don't ever want to step on Coach Dawson's toes or Coach Tuoti's toes. And, you know, those guys have been absolutely, you know, fantastic with this whole thing, because people always ask me about that, and I'm like, you know, a lot of guys probably would not have been super comfortable,
yeah,
with
right,
that,
right,
with, you know, somebody, you know, like myself coming down there and constantly with you and your guys, you know, throughout practice, because I spend most of my time with the defensive line. I'll go with the offense every now and then and spend some time with the linemen, but, you know, linemen are a little different. So my experiences, you know, generally they're going to connect more with,
right,
you know, the guys on defense. But, yeah, you know, they, Coach T, he would want me down there more, you know, like,
right,
that's the way that he has approached it. Like, he wants me down there so that, you know, I know everything that's going on, all,
yeah,
the defensive call, you know, everything, so that I can be another set of eyes, just not with technique, but with, you know, how they're running it within the scheme and,
right,
things, you know, because the way that Scott wants it is similar, you know, to the, how we ran it in terms with the numbers, you know, and guys getting reps and stuff. And, you know, one coach can't be in, you know, two, three places,
sure,
at the same time. So it's good to have guys that know what they're doing, as opposed to, like, people that watch, like, the TV version of, you know, on Saturday, and then they get on Twitter and they're like, oh, my God, that defensive end, how the hell did he, like, dude, do you know what the call was?
Right.
Do you know what they're,
right,
asking him,
right,
to do?
He did his job,
right,
actually.
Right,
you know?
So you just need to shut your mouth, because,
yeah,
you don't know. It may look bad to your eyes,
right,
like, but that's not even the guy that, you know, created, you know, the long touchdown or the bust, right?
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force, with NFL and college football fast approaching, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. Go to BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. You can join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You'll receive 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code NICKBAH. That's my code, my name, Nick Baugh, N-I-C-K-B-A-H-E. BetUS is known as America's favorite sportsbook for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all your favorite football games with team and player props and loads of NFL futures and NFL odds up already. You can also bet UFC matches, props, Major League Baseball, plus live betting on almost every sport, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. So follow my lead. Get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
Well, this is good, because I was going to, so for people that don't know, you're down there on a volunteer basis.
Yeah. Yep.
It sounds like, because I was going to ask you kind of like, okay, what's your role? How much are you around? Like, it sounds like you've been pretty intimately involved. What is... Because, you know, you see the results on Saturdays and you maybe conjure up an image of, okay, what's going on down there?
Yeah.
And then you get down there and those two things may not line up,
right?
Like, what has stood out to you with getting down there, getting with Ty and Casey and Ben Stille and those guys? Like, what has jumped out at you with those guys?
Well, to start with, I think that we are finally at a point where we have guys that they're big enough, they're fast enough, they're strong enough. They have all of those things that when you are creating a team and, you know, you go down each position group and you're like, okay, well, this is kind of what we want this guy to look like and this position to look like this and that. And I think, you know, obviously a coach always, you know, would love for a player to be a little bit stronger, a little bit faster. But we've got a team. I feel like there are horses in those stalls now that they can compete with anybody that's on their schedule. You know,
which wasn't the case when
Scott
got here.
Right. And, you know, guys like Ty Robinson, like Jordan Riley, the transfer in from Carolina, has really, stepped his game up here coming into to fall. And, you know, you just never know nowadays with these kids, because it's sometimes you don't know what they're thinking. Like, it's different. Like, you know, if we were around each other and spent a whole, you know, shitload of time together and was involved in practice every day, generally I think, you know, I'd have a pretty good feeling as to kind of which buttons to push on you and stuff like that. With these guys, it's different, you know, like, for so long, they've just grown up, you know, looking down at their iPhones and really communicating with each other kind of through that, like commenting on Twitter stuff or Instagram or whatever. So we've been trying to get those heads up more, right? And be able to look guys in the eye, because that's when it means something, right? Like, that's, you know, it's one thing if you receive, a text from somebody saying, hey, you know, I wish you would have played that three technique a little bit better on that play, right?
Yeah.
But, like, when this dude's looking at you in the eye and been like, what the hell happened on that play? You know, like, you were supposed to be there. Now it starts to take on a little bit more meaning. And
you're seeing some of that?
Oh, yeah. They're good.
Who, I mean, give me a guy. Is there someone that's jumped out at you? Is like, man, this dude has really got a voice and he's really embracing it.
Well, you know, the guys that I am hoping are, at the end of the day, you know, you have guys like, Boogie Daniels, he's been a presence down there. He, you know, when he speaks, guys listen.
Okay.
Ty Robinson is a guy who I'm always trying to push to be more, because I tell them all the time, I'm like, look, it just takes on different meaning when you stand in front of a group and say, this is what we need to do, or that wasn't good enough, or do it again, as opposed to, And, you know, Cam Taylor, Britt, he's a real deal. Like, the guy can do pretty much everything. But, like, it takes on a little different meaning than if one of those guys tries to get in front of, you know, the big guys.
Right.
Because it's a whole different world down there.
Yeah.
Right.
I
mean, you know, like, I appreciate everything that those guys do, but it's different when you got, you know, 3'6", 330 pounders that are leaning on you and doing all that stuff. Like, it's just a different sort of beast down there. So, you know, when the skinny guys start barking at you, it's kind of like, dude, you need to get out of my face before, you know what I mean?
Right,
we're going to have a problem here.
Sure.
So, but, you know, those guys, Cam Jurgens, he's a stud. You know, I mean, so much has been made of the snap thing, obviously. And it was, you know, got to a point where it was unacceptable. You know, we're big time college football program. We should be able to get the ball back to the quarterback. But people also got to remember, this dude's never played offensive line in his life, let alone center.
It's crazy.
You know, like, center is the toughest position to play, especially nowadays, because these guys, I mean, a lot of places, centers are actually calling the cadence. You know, like, they're the ones going blue 40, you know what I mean? Like, But even if you're not doing it that way, you're still a guy that when you break the huddle, you're coming out and you're saying, you know, 54 is the mic and, you know, we're doing this and that, or you're going to, you know, run it the opposite way and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that those guys are doing. And I think just being the center, being the guy who, you know, you constantly, every play you're touching the football, you're the guy who kind of leads the rest of the guys out of the huddle. I think you're just naturally, like quarterback, you're in a position of, like, not authority, but, you know, you guys are used to hearing your voice, you know? So, Cam is a guy that, you know, I'm constantly pushing to get out of his, like, you know, they all have their comfort zones and stuff that makes them uncomfortable. And like I said before, that stuff, kind of that human, you know, peer-to-peer sort of interaction is difficult for them. But I constantly have to remind them, I'm like, dude, if you guys think like that we showed up and it was just like second nature for us, that's not how it was.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to ask you what that process was like for you.
You know, you came in and you were like every other freshman. You were just trying not to get screamed at and chewed at, or, you know, having, you know, Coach McBride put up, you know, a play of you running scout team and, you know, getting your ass kicked or not running after the football or something. And he absolutely would do that. I think every freshman actually, you know, could
use
something.
You play hard in high school, and then
So, oh Jesus, man, I just what were we talking about?
No, it's about the process for you of being, you know, how you showed up and wasn't second nature for you guys.
You know, you come in and you just kind of, for me, you know, Trev Alberts was the man, you know, when I came, and he's obviously a good guy, a really great example, a role model to if you're a young guy and needing someone to look at as to the right way to do things. You know, Trev, smart dude, good looking guy, personable, you know, super athletic and talented and From that standpoint, you just kind of watch and you listen. You know, like, we didn't do a lot of talking, but it's, and in that regard, it's different. You know, these freshmen, they come in much more accepted right away, right? And I don't know if that's necessarily because freshmen just, you know, maybe tend to be able to get on the field quicker now because they're a little more physically prepared.
Yep.
You know, they all have their private trainers and shit, you know, coming throughout high school. So in that regard, they may be a little bit more prepared physically. But, you know, mentally is still, it's, you know, I don't care what year it is. It's still when you go from lining up and seeing, you know, kids across from you playing defensive line in high school that, you know, just starting to get hair under their pits, you know, and hair on their balls compared to, you know, five giants coming out with like full beards and Brendan Stys and shit, you know, like 6'5", 315, 320, you know, like grown ass men. And it's like, oh man, this is a different deal, man.
You're
not in Kansas anymore. What I mean?
Right.
Like, it's a real deal. And, but it seems like nowadays it's, you know, the, it, you kind of, I think they only do what they know, right? So they only kind of treat others as how maybe they were treated. And not a lot of them probably had coaches that, you know, were really about chewing their ass or real right. disciplinarians. You know, I mean, let's face it, high school, a lot of these guys, they were in probably programs where the coach was like, okay, you're 6'5", and you're 290 pounds, and that guy you're playing against is 5'8", 163. Just murder him every yeah. play. I don't right. care how you
technique
do it.
Technique be damned,
right.
just maul him.
Right,
yeah.
And then you get here, and you learn it's a whole different story.
Right.
And, but, yeah, you know, you just kind of, you were quiet when you came in, and you listened. You didn't talk unless, you know, they said you could talk.
Right.
You know, you just kind of, you just kept storing stuff in the bank, in the vault, you know, like you're, okay, you know, Kevin Raymakers did it like this, and Christian did it like this, and Terry Keneally did it like this, and Trev did it like that, and then one day it's like, it's your turn,
yep.
and you just kind of use all that stuff that, and it just, you know, it just becomes more and more becomes, you know, more comfortable. We weren't in a rush to get out of here, you know, like, We knew this was like the time of our lives, you know, like we didn't want to go anywhere. I mean, Grant and I had that opportunity to leave and it was like, what? Why the hell would we leave? Yeah. You know, like I wish NIL was going on
yeah,
back then.
Some,
you know,
yeah,
yeah, we could have made a little bit of cheese back yeah. then. But I constantly have to remind myself too, especially like when dealing with Ty, because he's young, you know, he is. Like, I think he realistically, like, if you didn't count COVID year and everything, he would be coming into, I think, his redshirt sophomore year. Mm-hmm. But with COVID, he's basically a redshirt freshman now again.
It's incredible.
You know, like, he's been like a three-year starter.
I know.
And he's still got 4 years, I think, to play pretty much.
Right.
How that happens, I don't even know. But, yeah, and you just think, like, okay, like, you know, in a normal world, would I be pushing a guy like this to kind of take on that sort of role? Probably not. You know, he's still trying to get his fittings and, you know, he's trying to still, you know, figure out how he fits and everything like that. But this is a different time. You know, we have to do things maybe that generally we normally wouldn't do. But the situation that this program is in,
they need
gotta
Ty
win.
They
need
right.
leaders to start right. stepping up, because I am a firm believer that that has been a big part of the lack of success. Not having that guy or guys that push you over the hill. Do you
right.
know, like, you sometimes you just need that kick in the ass.
I was here. Tell me if this story is. Sometimes you hear these stories. I don't even know where. I can't remember the first time I heard this story.
Right.
Was there a day at conditioning when you were your senior year
yeah.
that some dude was loafing it?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
you
yeah.
went and laid him out in sweats?
So T.O. tells the story all the time, right? I vaguely remember it a little bit. But, like, he had called me over to talk. I think maybe I missed a class or something.
Yeah.
He calls me over, and he's, you know, Jason, you know, I expect more out of you. You know, you need to be going to class whenever they're holding class,
yeah.
you know. But, coach, it's bowling or something, you know. Like
yeah, something.
And out of the corner of my eye, I see this, I think it was an offensive lineman, and we're in summer, you know, in the stadium. The steam's coming off the field, hot as could be. But I can see him out of the corner of my eye, and I can see, like, he's loafing. So I can only imagine what T.O. is thinking, because here we're like in the middle of a conversation and then out of nowhere, I just bolt, right? And I full speed, and I mean, I level this dude like a knockout shot. There was no form tackling. It was just laying the shoulder
right
into him. And I mean, his head hit before his feet did. And coach was like, what are you doing? He's like, Jason, what are you doing? And I'm like, coach, he was loafing. I'm like, he was loafing. I'm like,
oh, Jason.
Yeah, so he likes to
I never knew. That's one of those stories that, I don't know if you have those stories. I can't remember the first time I heard that. And I thought, like, I believed it. But I'm like, maybe this is a story that somehow is, like, not true.
No,
but that goes to show you, though, like, the kind of the full circle of what we're talking about, though.
Well,
like,
look, Grant and I were coming back To win a championship. Not to win games. We were coming back to win a national championship. And that was not good enough, you know? And
you're not leveling him. You're leveling him, but you're also leveling everybody else.
Yeah. Because anybody, you see a guy, this is what's going to happen if you loaf.
Right.
You know, like, sometimes you got to threaten guys a little bit.
Yes.
You know, especially young
fear,
guys.
Fear is not a bad thing.
No, everybody talks about fear. Like, it's, you know, fear is a great motivator, man. Like,
I totally agree.
There's the fear that today someone's going to have your number, somebody's going to be better than you, stronger than you, faster than you, you know, all that stuff. And it's like.
Or even just the fear of, like, if I don't do my job, Jason's going to fucking lay me out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's the fear of that.
I mean, we never wanted to miss practice because. There was always the fear that the guy who was behind you, I mean, these weren't a bunch of schmoes that they were recruiting.
Shit.
You know, when we started winning championships, there were good players that were coming and guys that were capable and guys that ultimately went and played in the NFL. But, you know, if coach was like, hey, jump in there, they're not going to be like, Jason, is it okay if I jump in there?
Yeah, they're going to take your job.
Right. They're going to take it in a heartbeat.
Right.
They don't care if
you're
an All-American or,
Yeah,
I mean,
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
So,
Does being around, I was curious with being back around in, you know, you're on the field, you're in the weight room. Does it awaken that?
Oh man,
that
I love
beast,
it.
Like, or is it? Or is that? Is that beast caged up?
No, I mean, I thought it was, you know, but then it's like, I start like before I'd go out onto the field, I'd be on the sidelines and kind of doing that little like boxers, like hot, and then all of a sudden, like the start of camp. We were kind of getting into stretching, and all of a sudden I caught myself, and I was, like, doing, like, a little boxer, you know, jogging around. And I was like, oh, man. I'm like,
so it came back.
It came right away.
Did you like that
just
feeling?
Just being in it, and then, like, walking in the locker room after practice, and there's that smell and everything,
right,
you know. It's
right.
The pads and all that stuff, and it's awesome. I mean, I love it. I feel like it's kind of, like, rejuvenated myself.
That's great.
The body sometimes doesn't
follow
where the mind thinks it is,
sure.
but you know, it's all good. I love being around those guys, and even if, you know, can help just a little bit, then, you know, I feel like it's worth it. But I hope that we're doing more than just a little bit. Sometimes we get so caught up, right? Because everything now is out for people, you know, to read this book or that book on coaching, right? And it's so much about X's and O's and who's running this offense and Chip Kelly's doing this and, you know, Belichick's doing that. And sometimes, you know, you gotta bring yourself back and remember, you know, there's something that's pumping inside that is a big deciding factor as to how a game plays out or how a season plays out, you know, and that mentality and that fire, like, that's a big part of especially football, you know, like, and that's not really something that, you know, the coaches are having. Okay, today we're gonna work on
how to be a badass, it doesn't work like that.
No. So
Do you feel like though, because it's funny, last time you and I did a podcast together, it was the week of the Colorado game in 2019.
Yep.
A lot has happened since then.
Yeah. God, they should have won that
game.
That one really
hurt. They're up 17-0 at half. It's just frustrating, right? But do you – all the stuff that has inevitably led Nebraska to be on the wrong side of the scoreboard, What do you attribute a lot? Is it, do you attribute it to a lot of the stuff that we're talking about? You know, a lot of the intangible things?
Yeah, I think there's still like an element. Like, I'll for example, today, and it's not like I'm revealing any secrets or anything. It's just it's part of it. You know, we had the Big Ten officials came in and we had a scrimmage today, and there was, you know, a receiver and a defensive back where the receiver caught the ball, and I think it was for a first down. So there's some frustration there, you know, where it was an opportunity to get off the field, and they converted. And then, you know, the D-back's getting slow off of the receiver, getting up, you know, and then he starts to, you know, kind of kick, you know, to get him off
right.
of him. And before
right.
you know it, you know, one of them's hitting a, grabbing a face mask, and the yellow flag's coming out. And this was a big, you know, deal. Like, you know, Scott wants and needs them to be disciplined. You
yeah.
know, like, you can't let your emotions, like, you know, we want this fire.
Yes.
And but you also have to know. And it's the thing that, like, Coach Osborne tells the story all the time. And it goes back to that 94 Orange Bowl
yep.
where we're playing Miami and Casey Jones, their center, who also was, like, very cut from the same cloth as Christian,
yep.
you know, high-energy motor. And it was a huge play in the game where I believe the play maybe had went for a first down or something, and they converted, and the drive was going to continue. And I think the clock was run. You know, we were getting low on time, and Casey Jones took a shot at Christian when he was down, trying to get up off the ground. And, you know, the one player that everyone thought would react
would,
to it,
yes.
right, just put his hands up, and sure as shit, you know, the yellow flag came out, and it was a huge part
huge
in that
play.
Game. Yeah. And it's like, that's, you know, you got to know, especially, you know, even though we're trying to promote this fire and this attitude, you also have to know and be disciplined enough to know that, hey, when this thing is for real, and there are those guys in black and white
yeah.
out there, you cannot let your
right.
emotions or your pride or your ego get in the way, because ultimately it's a selfish decision or move that you make when you end up hitting somebody. And you got to know, too, it's always the second guy that gets caught, right?
yeah.
Always the
yeah.
second guy that gets caught. But you just can't do that. You can't. It's basically saying F you to all your teammates.
Right.
I don't care about how hard you know. You
my pride
working.
In the moment
yeah,
supersedes
right.
all
yeah.
of you.
Yeah, and
you know,
you can't have that. You can't
right.
be. You can't be a winning program with that sort of mentality. So, you know.
So coaching moment, teaching moment.
Yeah,
there, though,
yeah,
you know? Like,
absolutely. And that was something that Scott stressed. You know, when talking to them afterwards, like we're at a point now. You know, this is what year four,
mm-hmm.
where that shit's got to be over with. That's got to be done. There's no time for any of that bullshit.
Right.
You know,
right.
like you guys, you talk about not wanting to lose anymore. You talk about how you want to do this and you want to do that, but do your actions follow
right.
your words?
Yeah.
You know, because that at the end of the day, you know, talk's cheap. You
yeah.
know, like, and I'm always reminding guys down there. I'll be like, you know, what you put on Twitter, you know, no, we don't need to talk about what we're going to do in this season, or you don't need to tell the NFL, just wait for me,
right.
you know, like,
right.
you know, the best way is you just keep your mouth shut and you just kick everybody's ass out on the field and all, let the story write itself,
right.
you know, like,
right.
when you put something out there, now it's just, you got to actually think about backing that up,
right.
you know what I mean, like, it's just, you know, I get everybody wants a little bit of prime time in him and Deion, but you know
yeah.
what? Like, Deion's like a once in a lifetime.
He's arguably the greatest corner
right.
ever.
You know
what I mean?
Like,
one of the
yeah.
greatest football players to ever
right.
live.
Right.
I mean, it's different when he runs
right.
his mouth.
You are not prime time. You know, like,
right.
when you make it to the league and you sign, you know, $100 million contracts,
right.
then okay, then you can act that way. But like right now, it is team. And when you do something dumb like that, that ultimately costs the team, like it's the biggest slap in the face.
But
to
I feel
teammates.
Like Scott could now. The good thing now is young. This sounds like a cliche, but young players, it's, you know, it's easy to be like, ah, it's just one penalty.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
you know,
right.
It's one busted
right.
assignment. Get off
right.
my ass, man.
Right.
Like, I think the thing now that I'd imagine Scott can do is he can point at all these things. And guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
This directly leads to losing. And that makes it...
One of the first team meetings that we had this year, he had, you know, a bunch of different stats up there that said, you know, where we ranked in terms of, you know, penalties or this or that, and showed, you know, the direct correlation to, you know, the wins and losses and stuff like that. And
I'm not being an asshole saying this to you. This impacts winning
and losing. Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're understanding of it now. They're starting to understand that you can't do that stuff. But that also is a product of not having great team leadership. Do you know, like, because it's one thing when your coach is telling you after practice or yelling at you. It's another thing when your peers are on you about that stuff, right?
Yes.
Because okay, now here, this guy, you know, that is my teammate. He's maybe a year or two older than me. He's telling me, you know, I'm selfish and stuff like that. Now that stings a little bit more, than when a coach is saying it. So I really think that I don't want to say, like, you know, the losing was good for us, but I think it got us to a point where I think that they are fed up with it. Now, they also have to follow that, you know, it's
that
not
talk.
Just, it's not just being fed up with it is not good enough. You know, that's not going to make you into a 10-win team or whatever. You have to follow it up with actions. But everything, you know, that we've seen is, you know, they're working hard, man. There's not many times where Scott or, you know, if being just, you know, a coach or whatever would say, you know, we need to start this practice over.
Right.
Or we need to, like, there haven't been many moments like that. These guys are pretty dialed in. And the effort has been really good, really good.
Right.
All fall camp, winter conditioning was great. But it's good to see guys, you know, that have really put in a lot of effort, start to have like some success out there on the field. But there's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they don't know. I think there's so much pressure on them nowadays. There really is. You know, like, they don't get a second to breathe. And you can tell them all you want, stay off of this, stay off of that, don't read that, don't read this. They're still kids, you know, they're 18, 19, whatever. They're still going to pick up their phone. They're going to check Twitter.
Yeah.
They're going to see what, you know, Husker Bob 34521 is saying about them.
Right.
You know, and they'll actually give, like,
energy
value
to what
this clown is saying,
right,
even though he's never played a down in his life.
No doubt.
You know, like, but... You know, I do. I think Scott, they've made a point of recruiting kids that are willing to work hard, kids that want to win. And I really believe that what they need, they need to just put 3-4 wins together. Do you know? Like, and you think about all of the seasons since Scott's been here. There's always been something, right? Whether it was the lightning storm,
right?
Where, okay, that's the first win of the year, right? That gets the ball rolling. Or, you know, COVID happens and all. You know, there's always been something to, like, and all the other teams have had to play in the
no
same
doubt,
sort
but you're
of,
right, though.
But,
that's,
you know,
not,
it's tougher when a new coach coming in and, you know, like, there's a reason why they all schedule those games, you know, at the start of the year. Like, okay, we're going to build their confidence up, right? And then they have, boom, one big non-conference, and then you get into the conference play. But, yeah, there's a reason why they schedule those kind of powder puff, you know.
That's what the one thing that Barrett has been consistently telling me on the record, off the record, all this stuff. Like, anytime we're talking, he's like, Nick, man, we got to get some momentum.
Yeah.
We got to get some confidence.
Yep.
These guys got to see it translate on Saturday to start to really kind of snowball it.
Yep.
And it's crazy. Since Frost has gotten here, they haven't been able to win 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
And it's always, you're right, there's always just been something. And listen, people might listen to this goes, well, that you got to overcome that. I get it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, because it's funny. Bo Root and I have done this series, Husker Classic Recaps. We watch an old game and we record a podcast about it. And like, I think of the 97 Missouri game.
Right.
It was just, that was almost a program culture win, where it was just like, it didn't matter. You guys were going to find a way to win that game.
And you think about, you know, we were the most dominant team in college football over those last, you know, 4 or 5 years. But we still needed a break to go our way.
Yes.
Do you know?
Right.
They, and I'm not, you know, singing a sad song here. But, like, Scott hasn't had anything.
Zero. Name right. Well, let's flip it. Name one break he's got.
I can't. I honestly can't think of one off the top of my head.
I can't either.
They've all kind of bounced the other way.
Every moment that could go
in
Frost Way, in Nebraska Way, has gone the other direction.
I know.
But you're right. That game, you get a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
But I also think on top of that, you guys had a mentality. You could just feel it. Rewatching that game, where it was like,
yeah,
Scott came out. He's going to lead those guys back down the field. You're going to score,
and then
defensively, guys are like, okay, it's over.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And a part of that is you guys thought like that.
Yeah,
these guys don't.
Right. Yeah.
And
I agree
the only way to change that mindset is just stack wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at White Castle Roofing, and I've owned two homes in my life, one in Omaha and now one in Lincoln. And both times, when I had some damage to my roof, White Castle Roofing was who I trusted with the job. I had some hail damage to my roof in Omaha. White Castle took care of that and did a great job. And then I had a leak with my skylight in Lincoln. My guy Ben from White Castle was able to come over, take a look at things, get the pieces needed to fix it, communicated every step, and boom, the crew was over and knocked it out quickly. Done and done. The crew was amazing, man. They're fast, they're efficient, they were awesome. Cleanup was a top priority, and most importantly, they did a fantastic job. You can't trust just anyone with your roof. And trust me, you can trust White Castle Roofing. Check them out online, whitecastleroofing.com. That's whitecastleroofing.com. White Castle Roofing, built with trust, proven by time.
It's huge. I mean, you know, anytime, like, you start to put together a few wins, and it's like the confidence goes through the roof, man.
Yeah.
Through the roof.
Through the roof. That's what it is.
So,
you know?
That's big. You know, we're kind of hoping here that we go into Oklahoma undefeated, I think. But, you know, even talking about that, like, try to just keep them present in the day.
No doubt.
Like, don't start thinking about that. Don't start thinking even about Illinois at this point. Right now, we're just worrying about ourselves, right? And being the best possible version of us as a team as possible. And just, you know, worry about getting better every single day, every single practice. You know, like, you really got to break it down in its simplest form,
right?
You know? And I think it just makes it easier when you start – looking down the road and, you know, oh, we can maybe win this many games, or, you know, what's going to happen, Oklahoma? Like, we got tough game. Like, Illinois, you think Bielema is just going to roll over? No, he's going to come out. He's going to, you know, he's going to want to win that game.
No doubt.
He's won plenty of games
and fans
in his lifetime.
Like, think about these dudes. Some of these dudes haven't played in front of fans in 2 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now you're on the road, a little bit of a crowd, you give up a third and two, they start rolling. You know, like, those kinds of things are going to be tough to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right out the gates.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was thinking about, because we even talked before we turn on the mics about giving the defense, the defense is ahead of the offense right now. I don't think that's breaking news.
Nope.
Can Scott alter how he does things to allow the defense to lead the way to give them a chance to win the game? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's something that'll be interesting to watch this year, because the thing that I felt bad for the defense last year was, like, whether it was special teams or offense just kind of struggling, the D was, man, they were constantly put in tough spots. Because you've even said, you've told the guys, like, listen, man, you guys got to lead the way.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see what that looks like.
Yeah, and you know, I do, like, you're not lying about defense being ahead, but they should be ahead at this point. And defense, just, you know, whether it's 1997 or you know, today, you know, usually when you get into training camp, defense is usually ahead.
Yeah.
But this year needs to be a year where these guys on defense, they recognize this is an awesome opportunity that they have. You know, places like Ohio State, you know, Michigan or wherever, the guys that had options of coming back, most of them, especially at Ohio State, they left. They're in the NFL, right? So they got a lot of new faces that they got to break in. We don't. right? You got to use that to your advantage, right? You guys have better understanding of what your coach is asking you to do. You've been in these battles before. A lot of those players have not, even though maybe they're, you know, a higher 4 or 5 star out of high school. That don't mean shit anymore, right?
No.
That stuff's gone. That's over with, right? So just forget about that. But this is an opportunity where, you know, like, you put most of the weight on your shoulders here, right? And we want it on our shoulders, right? That's the way we have to recognize that this thing's going to go as we go. And, yeah, you know, it's a great opportunity that they have. I really like, you know, when they were all kind of deciding whether or not they were going to go
or come.
Pretty cool,
and pretty telling,
yeah,
too.
Yep. They love Chins. You know, he's a matter of time before he gets his own job. You know, he's the real deal. Seeing the way he can interact with kids too, and you know, even just when you're around him, like, you know, in like a social setting or something, he gets it. You know,
yeah.
He knows how to, you know, to play the role. It's kind of the stuff, like,
sure,
say that, you know, Bo had a hard time doing,
yeah,
you know, like, Chins, it's like second nature for him.
Right.
But he's a great coach. And, you know, the guys, they love playing for him the way that we love playing for Charlie. And
right,
that's something that, you know, you got to have as a coordinator. Your guys got to want to go out, and there's got to be a part of him that wants to play hard for you, you
right,
know, don't want to let you down.
I know what I was going to ask you. I forgot this. We're talking about the defense. The getting a pass rush, you know,
yeah,
that's the one thing.
Yeah.
Like when you look, go down like the defense,
yeah,
you're like, secondary, pretty fucking
yeah
good.
Yeah.
Linebackers,
yeah,
Reimer, Henrich, pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, like the D line, pretty good against
yeah
the run, big dudes,
yeah,
a lot of experience. So one thing is getting after
yeah
the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you do it? Like, how does it?
It's funny because I was talked to the scout from San Francisco today for a while, and that's exactly what we were talking about, because we were talking about, like, when they had Aldon Smith out there,
yep,
and he was just wrecking havoc on quarterbacks. Nobody could block him. And, you know, now they got Bosa out there. And I'm talking about, like, how the mentality that Grant and I used to have going into games was, like, that we can stop this offense, like, by ourselves. You know, like, we can stop all run plays, you know, and when they're throwing, one of us will get there. Like, we knew we needed everybody else, but the mentality was – shit, we'll do this by ourselves if
right
we need to. You know, like, but being able to get to the quarterback, boy, it can make can hide a lot of deficiencies. It can make corners look like Dion back there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, those two positions go hand in hand.
Right.
Do we still need, you know, like, pass rushers? Yeah,
sure,
I would say,
sure,
looking at the defense, that's the one area that we probably –
and that's not breaking news necessarily.
Right.
You know, it's not
right
disparaging anybody.
Right.
Or
so,
like,
you know,
like,
until we have, you know, like a Javon Kearse walking through the door or somebody, you know, that is kind of sure bet that when we got to get home, he's going to get there. Until we get a guy like that, you know, Chins is going to have to – fabricate some stuff, and we're gonna have to, you know, run some games and stuff. Whether or not we can get home with just, you know, being in base, and we run a lot of sub pretty much in the four man front with the amount of spread that offenses do. So you still have your kind of, you know, your rush ends, and then you got your two interior guys, but you know, they play it a little bit differently than say Charlie did. There's a reason why those guys get paid a ton of money.
What they do.
Yeah.
Do you, okay, this is, I never rush the quarterback. I know that surprises you, but help me out with where experience can help, because I know the only thing I can relate it to is trapping the post
yep
in basketball.
Yep.
You got to know, I mean, that's basically blitzing
yep
a guy
yep
with the ball. You got to know, the other three guys got to know how to rotate,
right,
how they're, who's
yep
getting what, all those
yep
things.
Yep.
And the older you get, the
yep
more you learn, the
oh yeah
better you get
oh
at
yeah
it. Is this where
yeah
experience,
yeah,
where like, where
so
you can
yep
dial up some shit because guys in the back seven
yep
or whatever know how to
so
experience with it?
I tell them all the time, like when we're doing one-on-ones or something, and I'll, you know, be talking to the kids, and I'll say, you know, listen, I said, Yeah, we're rushing the player on, you know, we're rushing the passer, say, on play one and play two, but that isn't necessarily where we're thinking about sack. We're thinking about setting him, that offensive tackle, up on play one, play two, right? So maybe the first two play of the games, like I always, no matter what, when I was in Carolina, first two rushes of the game, I was just going speed. I was going to go speed because the third rush of the game, you know what that guy? Naturally, those offensive linemen, they've got all got lazy bones in them, right? He's going to cheat. He's going to think all this guy does is speed, right? So he's going to cheat. He'll maybe jump outside a little bit, and that's boom. That's when you can come underneath him, or that's when you go speed to power. Do you know? Right. Like, it's not necessarily all the time about rushing the play that you're about to play. You know, you got to set him up. I say with the interior guys, I said, you know, right now, yeah, maybe we're just doing one-on-ones, but at some point we'll do, like, full games, you know, like defensive line versus offensive line. And there are times where you want to, like, say, take a look out at the defensive end, right after the ball snaps. You kind of give one of these,
yep,
right? That offensive guard, right, he's thinking, okay, if the defense tackle's looking out at the end, that must mean he's waiting for him to come, you know, the
right
defensive end to come down. So the guard, naturally, he's going to turn, but there's no game on, right? You're playing head games with them, right? So you fake look out there, boom, and then you just come, you know, go inside. Like, you got to constantly – you're just trying to outthink them, outsmart them. Yeah, is there a time where it's just you got to outpower them and
sure
all that stuff? Absolutely. But this game now, everybody is so talented, and the
right
guys have, you know, they've been studying, like, you know, offensive line play or defensive line. You know, they all have their private coaches and this and that. And it's like, you just have to, you've got to know the tricks of the trade too,
right,
you know? And it's like, I don't really think, I think back to when I was in college, like, everything we kind of learned, you know, was from Charlie. You know, you kind of, from watching film, like, I think back, like, man, if, like, Danny Noonan or Neil Smith was hanging around and telling me, like, all these pass rush move, like, tips and stuff,
yeah,
you know, like, stuff, how, you know, my ass needs to be up more, like a sprinter, like, a lot of them will get in stances and, like, their ass will be down. It's like, no, dude, like, we're going. We
right
are going. Look, get that ass. Like, when you see Usain Bolt run,
right,
like,
yeah,
you think his
yeah
ass is down?
Yeah,
like,
no,
no. Yeah, his ass is up, and he was firing out,
right,
you know, like, and it's little stuff, like, that sometimes you have to remind yourself, well, it might not be something that a coach makes a big deal or a coaching, you know, lesson out of it in the
right
first 2 weeks of camp or something. He may only approach it when he sees it's become so bad on film. Well, let's, you know, I think having me down there is a chance where maybe I can see some of that stuff that Tony isn't necessarily focusing in on at that time. And, you know, I just kind of will grab a kid here and there.
Right.
You know, I don't ever want to take him away from what Tony's doing. But, you know, hey, think about doing it like this, or think, you know, about this. And you know, when you're going to long scoop inside, like the other day, one of them was running like a slant inside. And he just kind of, out of his stance, he just kind of ripped across the guard's face. And I'm like, the way that we want to do it is we want to grab, you know, with our left hand so that then when we rip through, we've got something to, like, counter
yeah
our weight on.
Yeah.
Like, if we just kind of rip across his face,
not as powerful,
our left, you know, our
yeah
hand, our other hand is just dangling out there, for that offensive lineman to knock us off our path is real easy. I said, but if we've got hold of a shoulder, do you know, or if a guard is pulling, I said, you know, just grab onto the back of his jersey.
Right.
I go, he's going to pull you to where the ball is going.
True.
You know, like, these are
yeah
things like that you don't really spend time coaching a kid
right
on. It's just little tricks of the trade, you know, that
just come from time
absolutely
and experience.
Yep. Yep.
And that's
yep
what it is. And,
yeah,
that, and so that's where I'm like, I already thought the defense is taking big steps, but I'm really excited to see what this group
yeah
can do just
yeah
from
yeah
from acquiring that kind
yeah
of stuff.
Yeah, I think they're – And I think they're going to be good. You know, I want them to feel some kind of pressure that, like,
yeah,
hey,
that's
we,
good.
Yeah,
you know?
You know, it's on us. You know, like,
right,
they can't score, they can't win. You know, that sort of mentality. And, yeah, I think, you know, they're strong. You know, they've got good players at every level.
Right.
You know, Cam obviously in the back. I really like, you know, Heinrich. Yeah. I think he's a stud. He just needs to stay healthy. I'm constantly trying to get him to be, you know, you're the middle linebacker, dude. You are the guy out there. Like, when you're calling the Sam, it's like, you know, not you
bark
know,
it.
It's
own
not
it.
Like,
yeah.
you know, tight end. It's like, tight end left. You know, like, I want you screaming at these dudes. You know, like, that stuff, it's like, man, the line, he's Nick's going off right now. You know, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's kind of, you know, what I think hopefully Jay and I are getting across to them down there, that they're even the things that you think are small, you know, like irrelevant, they're not. No. Like they have impact. You know, you just got to figure out how and when to use them and what situation, what environment. And you know, that's the I tell you, there hasn't been one case of like a kid not like open to hear what we have to say. Like they really, I believe, are tired of the bullshit.
But
and they
also,
wanna win.
You, I mean, again, you almost need to get a T-shirt. You wouldn't wear it, but someone else needs to wear it. 49-2 at Nebraska, three national championships, two-time All Big 12, first-team consensus All American. Like, Ty Robinson would be stupid to not listen to you. To not, you know what I mean? Like, And yeah, where he wasn't even born when you were rocking this shit.
Right.
But like, it doesn't matter. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know, as a quarterback in high school. But you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger. Some onion rings, double dipped in a homemade batter. Little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game, or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better. When I was at Kansas, when Danny Manning put me through an individual workout and said, Nick, no, do this, coming off a pin down. Yeah. Like, you know. So it doesn't surprise me. These dudes should listen to you and Jay. You know?
I mean, shit, I didn't even really follow college football growing up in New Jersey. I mean, you know, the Rutgers was up the street, you know, and they were horrible. So, like, nobody went. Like, you had bigger crowds at high school games, but – you know, like that East Coast, that tri, you know, kind of state, the New York and Jersey and Connecticut and stuff like that. Like, that's all about, like, Giants and Jets and, you know, NFL, like, college football. Penn State is kind of the closest thing, but, you know, it's just, it's more NFL. So, I didn't know who Danny Noonan or Neil Smith were when I was growing up. Shit, I didn't even know, like, when I started to get recruited, who was even good or not.
Sure.
You know, I only knew from a little bit from what Christian had in terms of recruiting, just because it wasn't a big deal, you know, college football back there. But I mean, once I got here, and that's been something that these Scott is
made doing a good job of that.
He wants the guys to know the guys that came before him.
Sure.
Like the history of the program, the school, the guys that played your own position. It's important, and that's the same stuff that Charlie did. And I think it's huge to know, you know, kind of Coach McBride always used to remind us of who we're playing for, and you know, like playing for yourself was never on the list. You know, it was always about playing for the guys that came before. You know, the fans playing for, you know, each other. You know, and that's something I think that all coaches, whether here, Alabama, or wherever, I think most of the kids that they get nowadays, usually, you know, there's a big part of it where they play for themselves. You know, like, I'm playing to get to the league, or I'm playing, you know, to make a ton of money.
The only thing I worry about with NIL a little bit, it's
tricky, man.
It's a really tricky deal where you're starting to think more about me instead of we.
But at least the NCAA has come out, you know, and been, you know, really good about telling the ground rules and shit.
I mean, what
an embarrassment. Like, no. Seriously.
Because I think, like, I'm with you, like... Like, yeah, it would have been nice in 1997 for NIL,
right,
for you to,
right,
you guys, you and Grant, and everybody would have gotten a lot of money. I think, like, all that stuff, I'm not anti-NIL,
right,
but, I mean, we got to get some sort of plan together
on
this.
I told, like my guys, the D-line, you know, I was like, this is not the money that we are chasing. First off, we shouldn't be chasing anything,
right,
other than winning right now, because if we win and we take care of business – the money that will come your way will be a lot more than what you can get in NIL. Do you know? Now,
yep.
Am I against them making some money to have, you know, some extra spending cash? No, not at all. Like, there's a lot of money being made off of these kids out there, and they, you know, certainly.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with them making some money. But the NCAA just kind of was like, okay, go.
Right.
Like, there's no boundaries.
Right.
Like,
July 1st, the gate just opened, and it's like.
Yeah. And now you open the door, like, agents are coming in and being involved and all that stuff. And I mean, you got to think, like, agents were like almost like, don't ever get seen talking to
right,
an agent,
right,
or, you know, like, I mean, but it's different world down there now. And I just feel like they're going to have to sort of, I don't know how they're going to do it. Because there has to be some rules being broken.
That's my thing.
Somewhere.
Like, I'm not anti. Again, like we keep saying, I'm totally all for dudes getting paid. It's fine, but we got to have some semblance of, like, my concern this whole time has been, every league has a salary cap, has the same the same general parameters on how you're building and acquiring a roster, right?
Right.
It feels like college football and college basketball, even like the stuff that happened to BYU. I don't know if you saw
right,
that with that stuff's great, right? Like, I love, it's great, but at the same time, you're like,
right,
okay, well, in effect,
right,
they now got 125 scholarship dudes, you know? And I don't mean to be Debbie Downer with this stuff, but like,
and that granola bar company or whoever has said that they're only going to do it this year, but really, who's to say that? You know, business doesn't turn out great for them, and they're saying, you know what, we're going to do it again next year. So what? That's another year then. So, yeah, basically BYU has taken the scholarship limit from 85 or whatever it is to, you know, 130 or
right,
140. Like,
that's fine. I mean, I just think there's a trickle-down effect with some of that stuff that I don't know if anybody's really thought about.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So right now you kind of – you want guys, I think, you know, in your building that kind of can have this creative mind about how to
right,
earn their guys, you know, money at this point. Until somebody comes in and says, you can't do it this way.
Right.
Right? Because I can bet your ass Nick Saban's got guys that are figuring out how to get his guys paid. Right? I mean, you saw himself, you know, get up in the press conference and talk about, well, my quarterback who hasn't played a down yet is making, you know, six figures or
right,
something. You know,
right,
like, yeah, that's basically him saying, hey, yo, Bob, you know, the one that we're recruiting to come next year? Yeah, I'm talking to you.
That's it. That's just that is basically like, this is the going rate to be the quarterback out of Alabama, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing.
Do
you – I wanted to ask you before I let you run about Trev.
Yeah.
About Trev coming back. I like the hire. The more I think about it, the more I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think the guy's that in a lot of ways he's got the same sort of, you know, like former Husker legend, went out, got real world experience, now coming back to Nebraska. It's a lot of like what Scott did.
Yep.
What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've almost forgot about Trev just because, you know, I really was hoping he was going to be the AD when Bill got it, and Bill was great. You know, I didn't have any issues with Bill. I just kind of thought, well, he must be satisfied, you know,
right,
being up there at UNO, and maybe he doesn't want the job. So I was kind of like, let's, you know, John Cook, you know, here's a guy who all he does is win and everything. Perfect. You know, he's probably at a point now where maybe he'd like something new to do. And, you know, the stress of recruiting and doing all that at some point, it's got to get tiresome,
sure,
you know. But bringing Trev back, when I heard it was Trev, you know, I was so happy, you know, because, like I said, I mean, from day one when I stepped foot down there at Memorial Stadium, like, you could just, without anyone telling me, I knew who, like, who the dude was, who the man was in that place, you know, and it was Trev, and he just carries that sort of presence with him. And now he's a guy, you know, that, like, people can rest assured, like, they don't have to worry about, like, you know, an AD not qualified to make a decision as to whether or not the football team is getting better or getting, like, Trev knows football. Like, he can walk into practice, he can watch it for 10 minutes, and he can probably tell you if the team is heading in the right direction or if we're going in the, the wrong direction. And, you know, obviously with the time and that he was up there at UNO, he had – there were some tough decisions
that he had
to
make.
Yeah, and, you know, whether or not – he really had a choice in making them when he first got there, whatever. But he was, it was under his watch, and it was made. And I think everyone at UNO is pretty happy now, maybe other than some of the people that
you
were,
feel for them. But,
yeah,
you know,
and
that's
I understand. Right. Absolutely. So I just think he's you know, even the response, like, to the little red uniforms.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
it's
right.
Like, you know, I mean, that's perfect. You know, it's just perfect. Like, it's I'm just stoked to have him back. I think he's going to do a great job. He really is. And just listening to him talk a few times, like, to the team, it's like, is that T.O. up there? Do you know? It's like,
you know
kind of where he, you know.
Yeah, who he
learned
from.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I watched that. Actually, the last game we watched was the 93 Orange Bowl. He sacked Charlie Ward three times. They couldn't – they had to go –
had like a dislocated elbow.
Yeah, dislocated elbow. He's got the whole shit taped up.
Yeah.
Bobby Bowden, RIP, at halftime basically said – at halftime he's being interviewed by O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, we got to go shotgun the whole second half. When we're under center, we can't protect Charlie. And that was all Trev. Trev was on his ass the whole game.
And I remember, like, he really hadn't practiced a lot leading up to that game.
Because he did it in the last game of the season.
Yeah.
The elbow injury.
Yep. And so, you know, there's basically 4 weeks or something, I think, till the bowl game. And he was probably, you know, I'm not sure if he had surgery or not, but I want to say it was not until, like, the last few days before the game that he actually started, like, to take some reps and stuff, and nobody kind of knew what was going to happen, and all of a sudden he just went off, you know.
He,
like,
was unbelievable in that game.
Yeah, he was the real deal. You know, Trev could he was talented, and but, like I said, he's you know, so smart, and just, you know, not a guy who's going to rush to judgment or you know, like, he thinks everything through. He, trust me, I mean, for any Nebraska fan out there, the program is in great hands. Not good hands, great hands, I think.
So what'll game day be like for you? Are you down there on the sidelines?
I don't know.
What are you going
to
do?
I try to get Frosty to, you know, hey, what's your plan with me? What do you want from me on game day?
We might have to cage you up, though, man. If we get the juices going, we might have to be a little careful. We saw, I don't know if you got one more game of eligibility in you, man. But
come back like in old school. We're talking about old school today, you know, where they have to go through the test, the physical testing, right? And one guy who's the mascot and jumps through the ball, the thing of hoop of flames.
The ring of fire.
Yeah, that's going to be me coming out before.
I bet it will be. You're going to lead him out the tunnel and jump him through a ring of fire. I'm going to. I can't wait to see. Jason, man, this is about an hour. You were gracious with your time. We need to do this more. I can't believe it had been 2 years, man.
Absolutely.
This was great. Good luck. And we'll touch base in the season, bro.
Yeah. Get over to Clean Juice, buddy.
There we go. Clean Juice. Get out there. I need to do it. All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet. Great burgers. Cheese Runza. Delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.